Hi, welcome to Fake Believe. I'm Stacy.
I'm Zach.
And we're the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the net house.
And I'm Rachel, and some people find me very disarming.
I'm Tiffany, and I enjoy ripping people's arms out of their sockets.
Wait a minute. Wait, I see a connection here.
I think Tiffany. I find her disarming.
Oh.
So, Stacy, it's kind of strange that we have two extra people joining us on our bonus out today.
I know, we're strange people with strange people.
We're also four people with two microphones.
Yeah, we have no idea how this is going to go. We are probably disappointing the audio gods, but, you know, we're blasphemous.
Yeah. In more ways than one.
Zach and I are sporting our Hail Santa sweatshirts, so...
Tiffany and I are totally naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Since this is an audio meeting, like, nobody knows.
Let's go with it.
You can lie. Zach, did you know you could lie on this?
You can lie on the internet?
Yeah, you can lie on the internet.
I didn't know that.
Wait. This is going on the internet?
No.
See, that's an example of lying on the internet. Well, today, in the spirit of the holidays, we wanted to do a bonus-ode similar to how we did it for Halloween. But, you know, since we are not good at planning things and bringing more people into the mix, it's not going to be a video, but you're going to love this just as much, okay?
So I also have to say that Tiffany and I were forced to watch the Santa Claus and then opted to watch the Santa Claus too. And
thank you for
do
your
you remember what you said to me after we watched it?
Was it I'm gonna kill you
after that?
No, I don't remember what
she was like, do they really like it? Like, am I gonna make them sad if I say that I don't like it? And I was like,
I'm gonna warn you, you better tread carefully here. This is traditionally the first movie I play when I decide that it's Christmas time. So,
well, it's like it's the previous generation's Elf.
Yeah.
Because I think Elf is hilarious.
Because
I can
is.
See people like in the future being like, well, that's stupid and he wasn't very funny or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but Elf is our Elf.
Yeah, we really like Elf too. That was also when we were kids.
Oh, let's talk about Elf.
Okay. Wait a minute. So you're telling me that you two unironically enjoy the Santa Claus?
No. We ironically enjoy the Santa Claus.
Okay.
Stacy ironically enjoys the Santa Claus. I find it to be a Christmas delight.
So
Christmas delight.
Okay, a little, like, just to let you guys know here, this came out in 1994. Neither of us were alive in 1994.
Shut your mouth. So,
I mean,
yeah, neither was I.
Yeah, she's very young.
I know.
I'm so young.
She's one of us.
I'm in my 20s. I'm in my 40s.
Well, okay, so I'm sure this makes absolutely no sense to anybody now, which is the exact goal for us. This is peak Fake Believe bonus-ode.
I will say, when I was watching it, I did feel like there was some kind of conspiracy underneath the surface. I just wasn't able to articulate what it was.
But don't worry, because we got you.
I'm very excited.
All right. And I wrote a little intro for this.
Okay.
Fancy.
Actually, it's in song.
Yeah. Oh.
Up on the housetop, reindeer paws. Out jumps good old Santa Claus. A classic kids movie takes a turn. Just listen up and you will learn. Ho, 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 Santa wants to die. Ho, 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 Santa fucks with this guy. Up on the housetop, we retort. How does this Claus hold up in court?
Very good. That's beautiful.
So, Zach, I'm going to give you the honors of explaining what our theory is today.
Well, I guess, should we give some background to our listeners? I mean, obviously, everyone has seen
Well, we'll get to the background, of course. Let's, since they've just seen it,
Let's clue them in and let them know before we get in that. Maybe we'll have them explain the movie.
Fair. That's probably a better idea.
Yeah. I want to see what they have to say about
this movie. That should be fun. So,
since you've just watched not just one, but two Christmas masterpieces, we would like to present to you the theory that this was not an accident, that Tim Allen's Santa Claus happened because the previous Santa planned his suicide.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
Okay, this actually does answer a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. So do you want us to tell our listeners about the Santa Claus?
I think you should.
Yeah. If you could just give them a brief synopsis on the first and second, if you feel up to it.
Okay, is this the one with the Nazis was the second one,
right? Yes.
Yes, that was the second one. Just like the Second World War.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Okay, so the first one, do you want to start? You're good at retelling. So go ahead. Oh. Tell us about the Santa Claus, the first one.
I forgot what the guy's name was. Santa. Tim Allen's character.
It's Scott Kelvin, S.C., Santa Claus.
Scott Kelvin is kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he's kind of a dick.
Oh. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say whether he's like a dick or if it's just like 90s dick.
Right. He's supposed to be a dick, I think, even though for me, he seems, I don't know, normal.
Fine. Well,
I
mean, yeah, Tim Allen. He was kind of...
Tim Allen himself is a dick.
Yeah,
he's just playing himself.
He was caught with cocaine.
There's this dick, and he just got divorced from his wife.
For a while ago.
Yeah, okay. So
they're unclear.
He's got a kid that he doesn't want to not believe in Christmas. So he's like, well, Christmas is real. And then Santa agrees
that the holiday exists.
Santa is real, is what he's telling his kid. But the kid's stepfather is a therapist. And he's like, well, he's too old to believe in Santa. So he's
this kid
discouraging
is
that. How old is the kid, by the way?
Eight.
Charlie.
15.
Is his name.
15, 16.
Charlie's 8. He's 8 years old.
He's like 7 or 8.
Yeah. He's 8.
He seemed younger. I don't know how to tell how old.
Well, he was about 16 in the second one, which was 8 years later. So probably. Oh, but you could say he was 7.
I've said this 8 times. He's 8.
He is a small child of elementary school age.
Yes. Okay. So he doesn't. So anyways, Tim Allen's character wants him to believe in Santa, but then Tim Allen's character himself doesn't believe in Santa, really. But then Santa appears.
Yeah, he's just, like, fucking around on the roof. And for some reason, Tim Allen can see him, and, like, it's, like for no reason. I mean, I'm sure that somebody at some point in the past has come out and been like, oh, shit, there's Santa. But for some reason, this time, Santa was like, oh, fuck, and he falls off the roof and dies.
Right, because all Scott did was be like, look out and be like, hey, what's up there? And then fucking Santa was like, whoa, like he doesn't go on icy roofs for a fucking living.
Right? How is that possible?
Oh, we'll tell you how it's possible.
Okay, so just real quick, then it turns out that if you kill Santa, you have to become Santa Claus.
Not necessarily, but... If he puts on
his coat on his pants. You have to wear his pants, his Santa pants.
Okay, so here's the notes that we took. Why didn't Santa just use the bag when he was falling? Because the bag is magic. The bag of set of clothes. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
The bag of toys.
Of toys.
Magic and floats, which we learned later. Also, it took Scott way too long. He did like 2 houses in an hour. That's not time. He also threatens a child, which was confusing to us.
I know! That's messed up.
Lots of issues with time were not addressed. And also the whole Santa Claus thing wasn't fair. The print was too small. It was non-consensual. So contractually, it doesn't seem like a legally binding document. And then, so. Are we missing anything important about the first one that we should tell?
Well, the plot... Basically, he has to become Santa, and he takes his kid to the North Pole, and they're like, ooh, cool. And then he's like, oh, it was all a dream. The next day, he wakes up, and he thinks it was all a dream.
Or he doesn't. I don't know. That was kind of hard to tell.
Well, Well, he does.
He does think it was all a dream.
He's kind of confused.
Because he gets pajamas
from a waitress.
Yeah, from the waitress.
Right.
Because, Judy was the name of our waitress.
Right.
At Denny's. Denny's, a good place to eat.
An American institution.
American institution.
Moons over Miami.
Did you say wings?
Moons.
Oh, good.
So, do you guys want to take a crack at explaining the second movie?
Oh, well, the second one we just loved. We loved the whole premise of the second one, which was that...
Nazis. That's the one with the Nazis.
Yes. And also that now all of a sudden he has to get married. And he only has, like, I don't know, a month or something to do it.
I had some ethical issues with this.
No. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
In what?
Yeah.
Now, I will say before we rail into this movie, I don't have any attachment to it. Oh, it's good. Fine.
The second one.
But truthfully, only the first one is a Christmas classic that can't be touched. We can just destroy the Santa Claus.
Oh, okay. I don't think it needs to be destroyed. I think it did that to it.
On its own. Yeah.
See, and one thing I want to tell you guys right now is that we specifically told you not to watch the Santa Claus 3. Mm-hmm. Because it just gets worse.
Oh, they
from
did?
There.
I don't remember that, but she must have.
Because she was like, maybe we should watch the third one. And
don't.
Then we were like, no.
Well, no. I was like, the theory that we were going to talk about. So Zach has his opinions on the third one.
It's non-canonical. I refuse to accept it.
Okay.
Non-canonical?
I will bring it up just in case anybody gets upset. I will bring up how it does fit into our argument if somebody's like, no, it's definitely canon. I'll tell you.
Okay.
So like you guys so eloquently put, the first Santa Claus movie is about a guy named Scott Calvin who becomes Santa Claus and basically finds the meaning of Christmas, becomes a better person, and now he lives his life as Santa Claus. The second movie takes place 8 years after that. His son Charlie is now a teenager in high school, and they're dealing with how he grows up into, has to live this life with his dad being Santa Claus, but also we find out that there is a Mrs. Claus in which Santa needs to be married in order to continue being Santa. 8 years have passed. For some reason, they happen to find it right with that the de-Santification process has begun!
Thanks, Curtis.
And we also didn't understand, well, what would happen if he just didn't do it. There would not be a Santa Claus?
Correct.
Why? Like, why? Who wrote? Like, who's behind all this? I don't understand.
I'm glad you asked.
For Santa to get married.
Yeah.
That seems wrong.
Well, this kind of ties into the legal ramifications of that card, the same card from the first movie, and who decides, you know, you guys brought up it's unfair. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's just very time front, and you needed a crazy magnifying glass to see that if you put on pants and a jacket, now you're legally obligated to be Santa. We believe that Mother Nature,
yes,
she is, yeah, she's in charge of the whole thing.
In the second movie, we find that there's a council of magical creatures.
Right.
And
oh, yeah, that's
right. So they're the ones that make these decisions and whatnot. At the very end of the movie, Mother Nature marries Scott and Carol, aptly named, for the wife.
I want to know why she doesn't get all fat and white and
yeah,
old.
We have thoughts about that, too.
Okay. So at the end of the second movie, Mother Nature says, by the power vested in me by me, I now pronounce you husband and wife.
That's like God saying, oh my, me.
Yes. So Mother
so
Nature.
Wait, does that mean that God said, put on your pants and jacket?
Well, Mother Nature. So what's happening here?
Sorry, that was
that's
gross
good.
And punny.
Because who wants to jack off in their pants? Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. In order for somebody to be extradited into another country and have, like, for a U.S. citizen to be extradited and be tried in that court of law, it has to, the laws have to hold up in both the U.S. and that other country.
Sure.
Since it's Mother Nature, it's in her jurisdiction. So she is the one that has the final say in these things. Whether or not she's the one that wrote up the clauses, it is her land. And she is the one that is the governing body as Mother Nature.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there are also some you know, like if you were Scott's defense attorney, which he does bring up that he has one that's very good, but not as good as his ex-wife's.
Right. That does come up.
Mm-hmm. So if that's what, you know, he wanted to do, is pursue legal action for this contract, he would actually have a couple of arguments to be made. For one, mm-hmm. like you had mentioned, Zach, the fine print. I did find out that the smallest fine print that would count would be 7-point font.
That was way smaller.
Yeah, if you need a magnifying glass for that, it is way smaller.
Yep.
And you could argue that because he went and started doing the Santa Claus job, that he was a that he was implying consent by actually doing that. However, all the card said from what he had seen was, put on my coat, the ranger will know what to do.
That's true.
And he was also under duress because he realized that Christmas would be canceled for some children because he'd already presumably delivered some presents.
That's true.
And then that means that, like, who knows how many children wouldn't have Christmas. So he was just fulfilling a duty. And
a duty.
Typically, too, they say that the term of the contract, you know, verbal contracts like that, because he didn't sign anything, so we're assuming that this is a verbal contract, that if the terms of the contract take longer than a year to carry out, then it's void. So he has to be Santa for the rest of his life. But something that we learn is that these shady elves don't seem to really be good at explaining the legal ramifications and to what extent of the rights that Scott Kelvin has to be Santa. And they are really putting him under duress. He chooses to not contest this. He chooses not to try and get out of this. The only thing is, though, I don't think that he's of sound mind. Because
which you have to be for a contract to be legally binding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're all contract lawyers here, by the way.
Mm-hmm. These shady elves, they're not telling anybody. They are not telling anybody what happens with Santa Claus and what all of this means and entails. Mm-hmm. So we can presume that the Santa Claus before Scott Kelvin had a similar encounter.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, he put on the coat and became Santa Claus. We don't know exactly when, how, whatever's going on there. And he ends up becoming Santa Claus and realizes that he's gotten in over his head. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't know that there are so many ways out of this. He thinks that this is all he's got. And also, I would say he's kind of under duress.
Wait, the Santa, the previous Santa, the one that that Scott killed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are the ways out of it? Or am I jumping ahead?
Well, you're jumping ahead to the third film.
Escape Clause.
Which, as named, is a way for Santa to escape from the clauses of being Santa Claus.
But that one we have said is non-canonical. However, I will say in that movie, I have seen it. I have looked up the synopsis again to remind myself. The escape clause essentially is you hold a snow globe, you look into it, and you say, I wish I was never Santa. You're transported back to the time in which you chose to put on the coat, and then you just don't put on the coat. And then apparently you live out your life from there.
Oh, okay.
Like, but knowing the future, so then could you, like, you know, see a catastrophe and then be like, I don't want to be Santa.
It's not canonical because in that same movie, Martin Short, who's Jack Frost, decides to follow Santa, who regrets deciding that he doesn't want to be Santa. But then Jack Frost becomes Santa and turns it into a capitalism paradise in the North Pole. And then Scott Kelvin, who now no one remembers him as Santa, has to go and find Jack Frost, who is now Santa Claus's snow globe, to go back in time to when they went back in time to stop Scott from stopping himself. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's really stupid. Just
well,
don't watch
I feel
it.
Like this was all foreshadowed in the first one that didn't seem to have like a logical grasp on time or sequencing. And so maybe they were just setting, maybe it was Chekhov's gun that went off in the third one.
But do you remember in the first one, Charlie is asked about that. And he says it's some kind of time thing.
Yeah, he does. But it doesn't like play out that way. You have to give that.
There is some Christmas magic going on that can explain some things.
Sure. I think pretty much everything is explained by Christmas magic.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, after that, like, the time was very strange. Like, we're like, okay, wait, so did a whole year pass? Is it Thanksgiving now? Or, like, what is going on here?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, it was very, it was terrible.
But it wasn't very, and it's like, funny because they, like, right after he starts turning into Santa Claus, he starts, like, coming in, like, going into work, and they're, like, talking about next year's Christmas already. And I was like, well, they plan ahead. one thing about why I feel as though he's not of sound mind as well is because he's literally watching his body transform. So, like, the scene where he shaves and, you know, he looks in the mirror and then it just grows back immediately, that his beard does.
Yeah.
So he
Tim and I are looking at each other like, I've been there.
And the only red flags that are raised about this whole thing are not about Scott's health. They're about his mental health and that he's committing to a bit. That's nobody's like him. You've gained like 100 pounds.
He said, I gained 45 pounds in a week. That's a week. Not healthy.
Oh, yeah. I made a mention of that. Yeah. I was like, this is turning into body horror.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But nobody thinks about that. They just think that he's so committed to the Santa bit that they need to take his child away.
But the thing is, about taking the child away, you know, they go to court for this and everything. And for some reason, they take his child away for believing in Santa Claus. Like, I think that's a whole other issue on its own. But Scott, all he would have to do is just be like, watch this. Shave his face. Comes
right. Right. That's what she said.
Yes.
That's what they're saying. So he is not a sound mind because he is in denial. He does not know what he's doing. He has ways to get out of this several times. And he is not able to
think of them.
Functions.
Yeah.
So he's having these issues. On that note, we've kind of talked, you know, we've talked a little bit about Santa and how all of that works, and Scott Calvin's transition into being Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. Terrifying. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We mentioned at the beginning that this was all planned for Scott Calvin to become the new Santa Claus. And we have some very good evidence to back this up.
Bring it.
So,
I think you guys kind of touched on your summary. I mean, first of all, we see when Scott first goes to those couple houses, he reaches for the bag and the bag takes him to the chimney or takes him to the pipe that becomes a chimney. Christmas magic. Mm-hmm. So that is how it works just for every house and every single Christmas, every single year. You're telling me that this seasoned veteran Santa decides that for this one house on a very clearly snowy and icy day in what we're assuming is Detroit, that he's going to hop on the roof and take the risk to walk across and go down the chimney himself. First of all, how will he even go?
He's not even holding the bag.
He doesn't even have the bag.
What is he doing up there?
So he's just stomping around.
It looked like he was rummaging like for the bag. But he didn't have, I mean, why would he do that? He would know exactly where
he would. And think about the time, too. You had time enough for Charlie to be alerted to something on the roof, to go to find Scott, for Scott to say, no, go back to bed, hear another noise, rush outside. And by that time, Santa's still just dicking around on the roof. What's he doing?
Right. It makes no sense. And also, like, why was there such a clatter? Like, Tiffany told, when we were watching it, she was like, I've been alive for 26 years, mm-hmm. and I have never heard a clatter, and like, or anything. Like, Santa's always been sneaky as fuck.
And even when he's not sneaky, it's when he's in the house, right? Because then when Scott later goes in, he wakes up the girl because he's loud, and then he wakes up the family with the shotgun because he's loud in their house, not because he was on the roof. So Santa had to plan out the noise on the roof to specifically get Scott to leave his front door and see him there on the rooftop.
So here's the question. So we're pretty sure that this had to be planned starting with this roof thing.
Right. Because, I mean, it's definitely not like a bad writing or anything.
No.
This is brilliant.
It's written. Definitely.
It's a Christmas classic. It can't. So you might be wondering, Why? Why would he plan this out?
Well,
we were wondering a lot.
I wondered that. Yeah.
So here's the deal.
What's the deal?
Whenever you become Santa Claus, and we've talked about time and how weird that is, of course, the person who is Santa Claus has physical changes. He suddenly has a diet of just milk and cookies, and he's able to survive. He's not getting all of the nutrients that he needs, all that stuff, but he's surviving. So at this point, we can kind of assume this guy's immortal. He's able to just live.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's suddenly aged to this one point, and then he stops. So this is who he is. This is the only form that he seems to take.
He's immortal to everything except falling off roofs.
Well, he's immortal except for acts of violence.
Sorry, that's my shoulder. Acts of violence. My shoulder popped.
Oh, it was horrible.
With shoulder pops and all that stuff. Like, he'd probably die if his shoulder pops. Probably. He would be disarmed.
Okay, so...
Ah!
If he hadn't fallen off the roof, he would just live forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, like...
He
can probably maybe be killed, but he doesn't die of natural causes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Natural causes don't apply to him because Mother Nature's on his side. But whenever it comes to... some kind of an act like that. That's where it happens.
Well, consider, too, Scott's physical appearance changes so quickly. He goes from, like, a 40-year-old man to, like, a 70-year-old man. But he holds that appearance.
He's 38.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, that's like 4 years younger than me, and it's weird looking at that man and going, that man is younger than me.
I know.
He looks so old.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All the cocaine.
You wouldn't know. Yeah, you wouldn't understand about that.
He holds that appearance. It's been to the second movie. When all of a sudden, if he can't get married, he loses the Christmas magic, and then he goes back, but he's aged in between those two movies, because in between the two, now he has gray hair. So clearly, as a human, he would age normally, but as Santa, he's perpetually the same age up until he's no longer Santa, at which point he would revert back. So if you go longer than a human lifespan and you weren't Santa anymore, you would probably die.
Wait, he would revert?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Santa who fell off the roof, did he revert?
He, like, disappeared. So he probably, ashed out.
Right, he probably, because he had time to give himself a little wave, and then he disappeared. So he probably had just enough Christmas magic to wave goodbye.
He was naturally, like
just immediately decomposed.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanos snapped out of existence.
Yeah. But something that we see is that the rest of Scott's family is also aging. As normal humans do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can assume when he gets married to Carol that she is also aging.
Carol!
And she clearly still is a human. If we veer into non-canonical third movie territory, excuse me, she has a baby, or at least I think they're pregnant.
Spoiler. No, she does. It's the beginning scene. She has a baby.
Yeah, she does have a baby. So she
gives birth.
And his family. Can still progress.
And she's
just
not like 80 years old.
Correct.
Looking.
She is, you know,
she's
still of age to be able to produce a child.
But she has to bone down with a guy who looks like he's in his 70s.
Yes. And she chooses to.
That is what's so funny about their wedding. And then right after he turns back into Santa. And I'm just like waiting for the moment where the camera pans to her. She's like,
speaking of which, in the proposal, he mentions that you've known me your whole life. And like Santa's been around since
that's
she was
freaky.
A child. Like,
it was
what the
so
fuck
not
is
the
that?
Same Santa.
Not the same Santa. But what the fuck?
Not the same Santa. Yeah, that was gross. And so was like. Because the elves were represented by children, but they were supposed to be like thousands of years old, but they were still like played by kids, and so there were a couple of like really ishy moments.
Everybody talks about that. You look pretty good for your age, like comment that he makes with the girl, so she's 900.
And that was before he was Santa. He was still just Scott Calvin there, so Scott Calvin just wanted to fuck a child, like gross.
You just said she looked
there.
Good.
I don't know. And that's Charlie's age,
that's
too.
That was the subtext. I agree with Zach. That was the subtext.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So here we're seeing that now all of a sudden there are other people in his life that age normally and they are not affected by the Christmas magic.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean for Santa Claus to watch his loved ones grow old and die?
Body horror.
Yeah. It's, Well, it's like we've talked about this, Stacey, before on like some theories of reality. And there is that one where like you don't die. You just move on to the next reality where you're still alive. And that means that every single one of us will watch all of our loved ones die. Mm-hmm. And everybody else.
But he does that in real time. Forever. And he's still alive and tied to the physical world. And he can't change it because he knows the only way out is to die. If he waits that long, then exactly what happens in the first movie is going to happen. He's going to have to not be Santa and then not exist. Those are the two options. Mm-hmm. Either exist and watch everyone you've ever known just die and be gone forever, or choose to die and be able to join them or not.
I mean, we all have that
really
choice.
Dark.
Oh, you thought that this was going to be lighthearted?
I mean, I thought Christmas magic.
Yeah, well, Christmas dark magic.
You have to watch all your loved ones die slowly.
Not in the text. It's saying that there is no Christmas magic to help his loved ones. So all of these other elves, they're also immortal. You know, saying they're like 900 years old. They're very old. So they don't necessarily grasp the concept of like watching your loved ones die and like having to deal with mortality without actually like having like the thought of that before. Like, oh, before I understood and knew that I was mortal and that my lifespan was only like this much time. But now I am being put into this role in which I have to be here forever and like kids depend on me and entire like, you know, holidays and infrastructures and all that stuff, it's all falling on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't even touched on the worst part of the elves, and that's when Scott initially gets to the North Pole.
Oh, yeah.
None of them are phased. In fact, they expect it. They know that there's a new Santa.
When the sleigh is being lowered at the very beginning, there is a kid in the background, and you hear, the new Santa's here. They haven't even seen him. And they say, the new Santa is here. The reindeer, they know what to do. They just look at him and they're like, yeah, all right. Everybody, every single elf knows that the old Santa was not coming back that night.
And the guy who opened the North Pole and he plugged in the little keys or whatever.
You're right.
He wasn't even phased. He did it. He let him down there as if he knew same shit, different day.
He almost seemed annoyed. Like, oh my God, this guy's taking forever.
It's another Santa.
So does that mean that the previous Santa was like, guys, I'm going to off myself today?
Yeah, they had to know. Because Bernard was prepared to have to coach him through and let him know what he had to do.
He came in, he said, the old Santa disappeared, right? And you put on the coat, right? Like, he knew that was what was happening. Nobody was like, oh my God, Santa, like, this man that we've known for years and years and years has died. So they don't necessarily have the same, like, concept of, like, watching your loved ones die kind of a thing. They don't have that same feeling. They're already immortal.
Or they like it.
But maybe, like, the Santa is like a spirit that stays. So even though it's a new body, technically it's the same
Santa.
Yeah,
but I mean, they all still acknowledge that Scott is different though.
He is his own person. He's an individual. Yeah, and like in the second one.
Even in the first one, that the stuff that's coming out of the workshop is the best stuff in years, as if this other Santa was sad and just depressed all the time and wasn't being the best Santa possible. And so all the elves were like, you got to get your shit together. Almost like maybe they consulted him and were like, hey, man, what's going on? And had some kind of meeting where Santa just decided, you know what? I can't do it anymore. Bernard, I'm going to off myself. I think that they had to choose someone. And then there was a vetting process. Like, maybe that Scott wasn't even the other one. There might have been other people that they had to be like, who's going to be Santa? We need to find one. And eventually they settled on Scott. And it was a whole planned procedure.
Well, we'll tell you. We'll tell you why. Do you want to start?
Sure. Well, Scott makes sense to be Santa because he's the biggest asshole in the world. So he needs a redemption.
Is he?
I mean,
he's kind of an asshole, but he's like 90s asshole.
Okay.
Like, he's enough of an asshole that it would be rewarding to have him.
His child on Christmas Eve.
Red flags.
Specifically asks if he cannot stay and there. If his mom can pick him up immediately as the sun rises.
And he's like, do I have to stay? Like, that is, truly, if a child came up to me and said, do I have to stay here? I would say no. Like, what's wrong? Let's talk about this. What's going on? What's happening when I'm not here and supervising what's going on? So clearly, Scott isn't a great guy. In the text of the film, he's not necessarily, like, abusing Charlie or anything. He's just, like, a sarcastic
He's just a bad dick. Dad. It's Christmas Eve, and he stays at a work party late, makes up fake excuses to get there, doesn't have dinner ready, and presumably doesn't have any presents. Well, I guess maybe he does.
He had a couple.
But we don't know if those are from Santa or from Scott, because Santa did get there. We just don't know if he dropped off the presents and went back up or not. So, presumably, yeah. Scott didn't get him anything.
What were you saying, Tiff?
That's right. Oh, I was just going to ask if, I mean, I was going to mention that he did put on his pants and jacket in front of the kids. So
that's true.
That may be one of the reasons why he didn't want to stay over.
That could be it.
Your pants and jacket.
But at this point, Scott, we know what his job is. He's a marketing executive for a toy company. And even in the movie, when it's like bring your dad to work day, career day kind of, or school day, like career day kind of a thing, Charlie's like, my dad is Santa Claus. And he goes, no, I can see what you mean by that. And then he starts explaining, you know, I work for a toy company. I do technically deliver toys to children and all that. But no, I'm not Santa. But that does bring up a good point. Like, these are the best toys coming out of the North Pole in a while. Because they have a savvy person that knows a lot about toys.
So they would pick him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's something that I found out. I was kind of like researching a little bit before I got in here. I haven't even told you this yet.
You're doing your own research.
Yes. Okay, here's the thing. Do you guys remember who played Scott's boss?
No.
So,
it's guy. Father Time.
Yes!
Father Time from the next movie is Scott's boss.
Yeah. So, the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond, I forget his name.
Raymond? Is it Raymond?
No.
No.
It's Ray Romano. No. Scott Calvin's boss is played by the same guy who in the second and third movie plays Father Time. And so we've mentioned several times about how time is weird in this movie, and we don't really know, like, what's going on. Apparently there's time travel. Apparently there's this, that, or the other thing. And yes. Father Time was somebody who possibly was able to, like, look around and be like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. You know, Peter Boyle.
Peter Boyle.
That's what I just did. I looked him up.
So Peter Boyle.
He also in the Munsters. Scott out of the meeting and tells him to get his shit together. It makes so much sense.
Yes. Yeah. He's like, what are you doing, Scott? Like, come on. He's trying to, like, get him to realize what is happening. So I'm assuming that at one of these council meetings with the creatures, I feel like the previous Santa had brought up his depression, his issues with his depression. And it's like, you know, I know I'm magical now, but I'm still only human deep down. My wife is dead. She was the only other person that would understand what I'm going through on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. They were madly in love, I'm assuming. And they've been through so much together. She is passed on because, you know, her.
So wait. But wouldn't that make him unsantify then if she was
well,
dead?
Well, no, because apparently there's some time.
Oh, okay. So he has 8 years.
Depending on how they want to decide. The rules go.
You know how there's a fetish about everything? Is there a fetish about fucking Santa?
I have that, yeah.
Don't look it up.
Rachel's like,
now I'm
going to
look it up. Well, because that's what he really needs to do if he needs to find a wife. Go on one of those,
like,
websites.
That life.
Well, to be fair, this was what? That was 1994 in the first one, so 2002?
Yeah.
Well, 1994 is when that Santa would have died and all that stuff. So
we're just saying Scott to find one. I'm thinking in the future.
Oh, yeah. It would have been early internet, so.
We're assuming, though, that, like, the previous Santa, he probably went through wives, right? Because we are assuming that the wife does not have that magical ability.
Potentially, you could look at it a couple different ways. We don't know how long he was Santa. It could have been a short time. And potentially, he could have had a wife beforehand. We don't know how the rules work. They could have gone together.
That's kind of what we're thinking. Because Scott was able to bring Charlie to the North Pole that first night. So we can also kind of assume that maybe he showed up with a wife at that time, which is why they didn't necessarily think about the whole Mrs. Claus thing for Scott, because they're like, oh, yeah, because he was married at one point. And they probably just didn't think about it until the desegregation process has begun.
He might have even been married when they selected him in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then
went through the divorce kind of a thing. So they might not have put all that together thinking about that.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
But yes. Too much sense.
Almost too much sense.
The world building is really deep in Santa Claus.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And this is what we're saying. So... Mm-hmm. So basically, this Santa, depressed, he has watched all of his loved ones die. He knows that he's going to have to remarry again, but he just can't bring himself to it. He was just so in love with his wife. He doesn't want to do this anymore. He's just done. He can't. And so he knows that at some point, he's going to have to give this up, but he doesn't want the poor children of the world to give up on Christmas, because then there would be no Santa until they were able to find somebody to put on the coat. But they're on the North Pole. How are they going to do that? How? Tell me.
So he wore his slick shoes when he went out that night. And that's why he fell off
on purpose. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So now I kind of want to rewatch.
Are you crazy?
No. Sorry.
And what other need were there for the Rose Sechik ladder? There would never be a ladder.
Yeah, why would he be on the ground? Why would he need a ladder to get up there? He wouldn't.
You know what? Conspiracy in a conspiracy. I think that the night before, whatever that book is called. What is
it? The Night Before Christmas.
I wanted to say Nightmare Before Christmas, and that's not the same thing. But I think that book was written about another previous Santa's experience. Because, again, why else would they know any of this stuff? I think it had to be planned out. So, just a thought there.
So the Night Before Christmas, the story was about one Santa's night of dying, because the only time you need this the ladder was for the next Santa to get up. Right,
he doesn't die in the book, but I think it just sets up some stuff later on.
But he might die in the book.
Well, he ends it with Merry Christmas to all and all, good night.
That could be the new one.
That could be the new one. He might have been nicer than Scott.
It's an exchange of
now
Santas.
We gotta reread that.
Oh, great.
Why else would they need the ladder?
Wait, so why? Tell me about the ladder. Why do they have the ladder?
Because they knew. They knew that Scott was not magical yet, and he'd have to get up onto the roof to go put on the coat and talk to the reindeer and get all that stuff going. So they knew.
Yeah.
That. Why else would there be a ladder there? Santa landed on the roof. That's what we all saw.
And thusly, why would there be, there arose such a clatter, which is the ladder, in the book? So the book is about one of these Santa, like, exchanges where, you know, one dies and another takes his place.
Yeah. So we have evidence that it's happened before.
Yeah.
Yes.
Precedent. Perfect. This is just what they do. So.
Mwah, chef's kiss.
So at this point, I mean, I think that we have made some pretty great arguments here. Do you guys have any more questions for us?
Do we have, Boo Boo, do you have any more
questions? Or any comments? Like, do you want to talk about the movie at all?
Oh, hey. Comment. I was going to say the root beer. The reindeer.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, so in the first one, he's like kind of mean, like he growls. Like I enjoyed his performance in the first movie. In the second movie, he was just weird. Yeah.
Spot on.
Tiff said that he was the reindeer Jar Jar.
Yeah, he looked like Jar Jar Binks. And he kind of acted like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Scott Calvin just really liked that, and so Comet was just being nice and was doing an impression of his favorite movie, because Tim Allen would have Phantom Menace be his favorite movie.
Well, see, and if you watch the non-canonical third movie, Comet gets really fat because Lucy feeds him all kinds of chocolate bars.
No, that happened
in the second one.
Yeah, because he can fly him home.
Oh, see, that's why I don't even care enough about the second one to remember it.
But then he's there later. It's so, oh my God, I'm getting mad.
Also, what was the deal with Chet?
Like, why would they need a new reindeer? What's up with that?
Yeah, do they ever need new, like, is the reindeers aren't, I was going to say immoral, but immortal.
Yeah, but are the reindeers mortal?
I was thinking that maybe they just swap them out but keep the names. But then why would Chet be Chet? Is he just going to be like Chet and now he's Comet now?
Maybe it's like Chet, and then you figure out which one like dies next. Like, this is the one that we call Chet. There's a couple of them that are like getting ready, and da da da, and then it's time to bring them on, and then they replace the reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could just be that two reindeer were fucking, and then they had a baby, and they just didn't know what to do with it, so they're like, here's Chet.
Oh my god. Aren't they all like related? They all have like rhyming names.
Oh, I don't know.
Clones of each other?
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, and Chet.
Chet. Okay, you guys, the cloning machine. Okay, this is the second one. So they clone Santa. Santa's a Nazi as a clone for some reason. And then he makes this army of toy soldiers to do his Nazi bidding. However, in the machine, he just puts it on enlarge. He doesn't, like, it's not a clone. Like, he's a clone of Scott. So where did the life force to animate these toy soldiers come from?
So what was your question about, like, making it the army, I guess?
Well, how the toy soldiers
where did the life force where did their consciousness come from?
Yeah.
Christmas magic.
I think something about maybe he programmed them as like robot soldiers so they could take orders.
Because they did say that he had the mind of Scott, basically. Right. Like he had like the knowledge that Scott had. So if Scott knew how to, he was like giving tips to some of the elves on like the toys and stuff like that. So maybe he knew how to make it so that program. They would like program.
So they're just AI.
Yeah.
Not like
sort of, yeah.
Okay. They were really creepy.
Like they were creepy. It's not a fun time. Nightmare.
But they were really cute Nazis.
Yeah.
As far as Nazis go.
Which I can't believe that was the content that they fed to us, but oh well. Well, happy holidays, everybody. I hope we ruined your childhood. Or, you know, I hope that we got to rip on a movie that you hate.
Or, you know, love in an ironic sort of.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll love it more now. Yeah. You have a greater appreciation.
It makes more sense now.
Well, you know, some of the most interesting movies in the world are bad.
That's true. Well, thank you guys, everybody, for listening. Happy holidays, Gruten von Krampus. And remember that this is all 100% real.
And 100% fake believe.